pictures that depict our relationship with God. Man, the vine and the branch picture is so interesting because it emphasizes complete dependence and the need for constant connection. Just like the branch, we are nothing without God. We cannot have life without God, just like the vine and the branch.
Amen.
Without the true vine, there is no possible way we can have eternal life. People will tell you that, man, there's several ways into eternal life.
No. Come on.
And so that brings me directly to my first point. There's only one true vine.
Amen.
Verse 1 states, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And that basically means the farmer. But I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Jesus is saying that he is the true vine. Jesus is the one and only true vine.
Amen.
The world will tell you, man, you can come up with your own beliefs. You can come up with your own your fantasies. They'll tell you you can come up with your own truths. And they'll tell you that there are several ways that you can go into heaven. But Jesus makes it plain and simple in John 14, 6. I am the way and the truth and the life.
Amen.
No one comes to the Father except through me.
Amen.
So plain and simple, there is no possible way to get into heaven without having a relationship with Jesus.
That's right.
Jesus knew that people would say that, man, Jesus being the only way, that's excluding, that's unfair. But praise God, there is a way. We don't deserve to go into heaven.
Amen.
Jesus was a gift to us.
Amen.
We don't deserve to spend eternity in heaven, but because Jesus died on the cross and rose 3 days later, we can.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Jesus knew that many would come up with their own way to get into heaven, so that's why he emphasizes here that he is the true vine and his Father is the husbandman.
Amen.
By Jesus saying that he is the vine, that means that there are other vines in this world that you can branch off of.
Come on. Come on.
There are many vines in this world that the world wants you to branch off of, but they're all evil and are directly from the devil.
Amen.
The devil doesn't want you to be connected to the true vine, and so he makes all these other false vines in the world. There's only one good vine. The rest are useless, rotten, and self-centered.
Amen.
And once you connect yourself to a vine from this world, that's when you begin producing fruit like the world. You begin to look and act like the world. You start, you become the world, and before long, there's no difference between you and the world. You're going to produce fruit to whichever vine you're connected to.
Amen.
If you're connected to an apple tree, there's no way you can produce an orange.
Come on. Amen.
And so I'm asking you today, what are the vines that you are connected to? What do you spend most of your free time doing?
Come on.
Does it glorify God? Is what you do in your free time and the time that you have yourself, is it God's will or is it what you want to do?
Go ahead. Come on.
And so I'm telling you, don't let your desires get in the way of God's will.
That's right.
And the point number two, what in your life needs to be cut out? Verse 2 states, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And there's one word that I want you to really pay attention to in that verse, and it's purgeth. Basically, that means to prune something.
Yep. Come on.
Well, I'm not sure if how many of you have gardens in here. Me and Coach Dave, we would talk about our gardens every now and then, but I'm not sure if any of you had gardens in here, but back in Jesus' day, the Palestine gardeners, they would go and they would prune their branches and prune their vines. That means that they would cut off the dead wood, which has no life in it, and they would trim the ones that do, the living branches.
Amen.
And so before we look into verse 2, let's look at the definition of prune. Prune means to trim by cutting away dead or overgrown branches or stems, especially to increase fruitfulness and growth. So verse 2 tells us that Jesus, he cuts off the branches that don't produce fruit and he leaves those that are. But that's not all. Jesus doesn't just leave them there. Jesus prunes the living branches so they will bear more fruit.
Amen.
As Christians, God desires that we continue to grow in our relationship with him. And if you're a Christian, God is molding you to be more and more like him each and every day. He's molding you to be like how he wants you to be, not how you want to be. But not only does he mold us, he prunes us. He cuts off the dead things in our life that are preventing us from getting closer to him.
Come on. Amen. Come on. Come on.
And cutting something off is never easy, especially if it's bad for us, because that usually means that we really like it.
Go ahead.
I mean, just like food, it seems like everything we love to eat is bad for us.
Go ahead. Amen.
And so, like I said, I mean, the pruning process is not easy. Don't get me wrong. It's not going to be easy, and it's painful.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, it's worth it.
Amen.
And so has anyone here accidentally cut themselves? It hurts.
Yeah.
I mean, getting cut hurts. No matter what it is, I mean, if you're getting cut from a team, getting cut out of someone's life, getting cut when you're driving, getting cut off, you hate it. You get angry. It stinks. Well, when I was 8, I got my very first knife. It was one of those red utility knives, and I love that thing, dude. I mean, I would just love cutting random things with it. And so one day, I decided I was going to cut a puzzle piece. And so I went into my bathroom where nobody could see me, and I began cutting that little puzzle piece with my new knife, and my hand slipped, and I cut the tip of my thumb. That hurt so bad. And then one time, me and my brother, Weston, we were in a hay field, and I can't remember if my dad was cutting hay or baling hay or what he was doing, but we were bored. And we were trying to find something to occupy our time, and so we decided that we were going to see whose knife was sharper. And this was a very big deal, because back then, we had on at least 3 knives on us at all times, and so it was a very big deal. And so we decided we would do the most logical thing, what everyone would do, to see whose knife was sharper, and so we cut grass. I grabbed a clump of grass, and I cut through it. And then Weston, he grabbed a clump of grass slightly bigger than mine, and he cut through it. And I can't let my little brother outdo me, so I grabbed a clump of grass slightly bigger than that one, and I was cutting through it. And then my hand slipped again and went right into the side of my knee. And I still have a scar from that thing, but man, my leg was covered in blood, and so it hurt. And so I don't care who you are, getting cut, it hurts.
Amen.
And that's basically what getting pruned is. God is cutting something off in your life so that you will grow.
Amen.
God will do whatever it takes so his children can grow. He's not satisfied with his children producing little fruit.
Amen.
And so he prunes us. God is determined to shape and mold you something much better than what you are right now. You're still here for a reason. God is still working on you, still molding you. And so the pruning process is not easy, especially when it's something you like. And like I said earlier, it's not always the obvious things that God wants to prune in our lives. You know, maybe sometimes it can be a friend or a relationship that we have. You know, it looks good. It feels good in the moment. But God knows that friend or that relationship is not what's best for you. And so he's asking you to end it. Or maybe it's a pet sin that you've always had. You know, it's not a big deal. You know, I'm just lying a little bit. It's not a big deal. Or maybe it's a bad habit that you've picked up and it's interfering with your relationship with God, and he's asking you to drop that. It's going to be different for everyone, but I can almost guarantee here's something that every single one of you have on you right now. That's your phones. If you were to open up your phone right now and look, how many hours would it say that you are spending on your phone each day? And how many hours, or if that, are you spending in God's word each day? In 2022, it said that the average American spends 7 hours and 3 minutes on their phone each day.
Wow.
And so how many hours, if that, are you spending with God each day? But then how many hours are you spending scrolling through TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube?
Yeah.
How do you think it would be if you spent as much time on your phone as you did with God? If you're spending 7 hours on your phone listening to the world and constantly have worldly views pouring in, but only spend 30 minutes on Sunday and 30 minutes on Wednesday in God's word, what are you going to start listening to? You're going to start believing what the world says. You're going to start, man, you know, maybe they're right. You're going to start questioning the things that you thought the truth, and you're going to start questioning God's word.
Amen.
Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for everything you do flows out from it. And so if we continue to let bad things pour in, if we continue to surround ourselves with bad people, listen to bad things, watch bad things, if we just have bad things pouring into ourselves, eventually that's exactly what's going to pour out of you.
Amen.
It will harden
Amen.
Your heart. and before long it will flow out of you. What you take in has to come out.
Amen. Yeah.
And so I want you to fill in the blank. God is asking me to prune blank. God is asking me to take out blank. God is asking me to end this friendship, relationship, this bad habit. At the end of the day, I need you to ask yourself, is this blank interfering with my relationship with God?
Lesson, Lord.
Amen. You can fool others and even yourself, but you will not fool God. And so Amen. Truly think about that. Amen. God will do whatever he can so that you produce fruit. So if you are a part of the vine, you will produce fruit. But if you don't, you'll be cut off. There's no half and half. You can't be on the fence. You're either all in or you're not. You're saved or you're not.
That's right.
There's no such thing as a part-time Christian.
Amen.
Amen.
And so what is God asking you to prune? What in your life needs to be cut out so you can grow in your relationship with the Lord? Then my last point, are you abiding in Jesus? Are you abiding in Jesus? Let's look at verses 3 through 6. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Well, you may ask yourself, what does it mean to abide in Jesus? Well, if you are abiding in Jesus, four things has to happen. Number one, it means that you are serving Jesus. Number two, it means that you are fully trusting in Jesus.
Amen.
Number three, it means that you are telling others about Jesus. And number four, it means that you are living your life for Jesus. So we got serving, trusting, telling, and living. Can you say that these things are happening in your life? Verse 5 tells us that he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So if we are doing these things, if we are abiding in Jesus, if we have a relationship with Jesus, our fruit will be noticeable. People will notice our fruit. We will have much fruit in our lives. And so those around us will know that we are Christian, that we have fruit in our lives.
Amen.
And so just like how the branch completely depends on the vine to sustain life, so should we with our Father in heaven. The branch doesn't go and gather its own water. The branch doesn't go and gather its own food. The branch has no choice but to completely place its trust in the vine.
Amen.
And so can you say that this is what your relationship with God looks like? Are you relying on Jesus on a daily basis, or are you relying on Jesus when everything else fails?
Come on. Come on.
So let's look at verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. So I'm going to ask you farmers a question, all right? Have you ever seen a branch that was cut off from the vine or stem continue to grow and produce fruit? I didn't think so. It's the same with us and God. Verse 4 tells us that unless if we abide in Jesus, meaning we are connected to the vine, and we have a relationship with Jesus in our heart, then we would not grow and bear fruit. There's no possible way to produce good fruit if you're not connected to the good vine.
Amen.
So let's go back and take a look at the first part of verse 4. It says, abide in me and I in you. Your relationship with Christ should not be one-sided. Just like those relationships that we have here on earth, they're never going to last if it's one-sided.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. If you're constantly pouring your life into your friend, you're constantly there for when they need you the most, you're always there, and you care for their needs, but as soon as you ask them to do one little thing for you, they're nowhere to be found.
Come on.
For some of us, that's exactly what our relationship with Jesus looks like. Except when Jesus asks us to do one little thing, one little step of obedience, we're nowhere to be found. But tell God, I think Miss Susie over here, she's good. She can do it.
Come on.
I don't want to. That's too much for me. Blessing. Now let's look at verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Just like the branch can do absolutely nothing without the vine, neither can we if we aren't abiding in Jesus. If we don't, if we aren't abiding in Jesus, we can do nothing. We absolutely are nothing.
Amen.
Without a relationship with Jesus, our life means nothing.
Amen.
And so let's go back to verse 6. We've seen what it looks like to abide in Jesus. We know what that looks like now. But what happens when you don't abide in Jesus? Verse 6 states, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So here Jesus shows us the consequences of not abiding in Jesus, not having a relationship with Jesus. Each and every one of us, we're made to have a relationship with Jesus. So when we don't, we have a void in our lives. We feel like there's something missing.
Amen.
And so you know what we do? Instead of running to Jesus, we go and seek worldly pleasures.
Come on.
Anything just to give us some kind of peace, but it's only temporary. And so we go and seek more worldly pleasure. And so we end up living a life full of sin and selfishness until we wither away and become fruitful. But let me tell you, there's only one thing that'll give us that, fill that void in our lives and give us true peace, and that's Jesus. And the only way to get this is to give your life to Jesus.
Amen.
The Bible says that Jesus died on the cross and rose 3 days later.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that if you repent of your sins, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe that he died on the cross and rose 3 days later, you will be saved.
Amen.
Amen.
Now verse 6 is really scary, because at the end of this it tells us that those branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. The consequence of not abiding in Jesus, not having a true, intimate relationship with Jesus, is spending eternity in hell.
Amen.
So ask yourself this morning, am I abiding in Jesus? I meant to do this earlier, but I want you to look at something. I brought something with me this morning. You got two choices this morning, right? You're either connected to the vine and you're growing and producing fruit, or you're slowly dying and withering away. This branch, it looks alive right now. It's green, it looks alive.
Come on.
It's just like those of you this morning that don't have a relationship with Jesus.
Come on.
You look fine. You look like there's nothing wrong with you, but on the inside, you're slowly dying and withering away.
Amen.
Look at this. There is no possible way that this dead, dying branch will ever be able to connect to this vine again. There's nothing that this branch can do to have life. It's going to die. There's nothing this branch can do. It's only by some miracle that this branch could be connected to the vine and have life. And that's exactly what it is when we get saved.
Amen.
We're just like this branch. Because of our sin, we can't have life. We're dead. We're slowly dying and withering away. But because Jesus died on the cross and rose 3 days later, we can have life.
Amen.
Jesus bridges the gap between this dying branch and this vine. And you may say, Hunter, I actually had somebody tell me this. Hunter, you can actually take that branch, put it in the ground, and it'll have life. It'll be its own vine. Well, let me tell you something. That's how you get these other false vines in the world. That's when you get these false prophets in the world. When you have people looking to you, having people branch off of you, instead of Jesus, they look to you for their strength and their... And they place their trust in you.
Amen.
Instead of Jesus, that's when we have these false prophets and people that think, man, I don't need Jesus. I don't need Jesus to have life. And so when you decide to place your trust in Jesus, so when you look like this right here, you're growing and you're producing fruit.
Amen.
But God still prunes you. and the ones that have life and are growing and producing fruit. And I want you to look at one more thing. There is no in between. It's either you're growing and producing fruit or you're dying and withering away.
Amen.
There is no in between. You're saved or you're not.
Amen.
And so which one are you going to choose? As the band, as they make their way back up, there are several, and as we move into a time of invitation, there are several ways that you can respond this morning. First and foremost, I need you to ask yourself if you are connected to the true vine, not some vine from this world, not some false prophet that said that he can make it on its own, but are you connected to the true vine? And if not, will you come down this morning and just make that decision today? Next, I want you to ask yourself, am I abiding in Jesus? Are you serving, living, trusting, and telling? And then for those of you that have that relationship with Jesus, I need you to ask yourself, what is God asking me to cut out? What is God asking me to prune? What is holding me back in my relationship with Jesus? Let's pray.